If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Obviously not. Sorry, I got stuff on my hat. I'm a little upset over here. I was going crazy. I threw my hat down. 49ers come up short. One of the most frustrating games I have ever witnessed. My face is redder than normal, if that's at all possible. And the crazy thing is, you had the chance to win the whole damn game down the stretch, and you just totally just crapped the bed. You totally crapped the bed. And so there's a lot of themes to come through this show, okay? And as always with, you know, our therapy or celebrations or whatever, you know, we've had three celebrations. The 49ers are 3-1 now. But this was as ugly a loss as you could have offensively, special teams-wise. But I do want to be very, very careful. The defense gave you every single chance time and time and time and time again. It was almost like you were a cat with nine lives with the way the defense played. Now, was the defense perfect? Absolutely not. You got zero quarterback hits. You got pretty much zero pressures. I'm sure there'll be like one or two. You got zero sacks. You never got close to Trevor Lawrence. But the overall defense definitely did the job to win the game. It's just special teams is as worse as it's ever been. And now we are, you know, we went through the Hightower years in the early Shanahan 49ers experiment, and it just descended to a bottom five group. You get Brian Schneider, this experienced special teams coach, worse. And you fire him and just awful. And then you bring in Brant Boyer, who's a top five, you know, special teams coach, blah, 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 but still sucks. Every single phase of the special teams group just is god awful. Punt return, kickoff return, you name it, it sucks. Like, the amount of hidden yardage that this team continues to allow and to put the defense and offense in the worst possible position, and it's just stupid-ass IQ, football IQ, not knowing what the hell to do. You field the ball in the end zone, you down it, you jackass. You down it. And every week, we have to have Isaac Arendo or Sky Moore return a stupid-ass kick and cost our offense 2 to 3 first downs, and then the next time they're in that same situation again, they finally make the correct choice. And I know somebody's like, wait, we're starting special teams? Sorry, I'm a former coach. Special teams is a big damn deal to me. It's a big damn deal. The special teams, dog shit. Dog shit. Terrible IQ. Jair Brown making mistakes everywhere. Isaac Garrido making mistakes everywhere. And these are players that are known for just making mistakes everywhere all the time. Chase Lucas, stupid. Now, offensively, okay. Like, how many times are you going to win a football game when you turn the ball over 4 times and get 0 turnovers? Man, that's got to be like, you're -4 in the turnover differential. You don't win games like that. You don't win games. I don't care. Middle school, high school, college, NFL, Canadian Football League. Don't care. -4 in the turnover game. And there's reasons why we gave up so many turnovers. And there's reasons why we didn't cause any turnovers. Fred Warner almost had 2 picks. Fred Warner caused 2 forced fumbles. We didn't get either one. Broke the all-time record. You want to look for a positive? Fred Warner has now caused more fumbles than the great Patrick Willis. He's the career, like, you're creating opportunities. You're just not seizing those. Down 0-4 in the turnover differential. And, you know, the Jaguars won 26-21. 19, 20 points. Yeah, 20 of those points were off turnover. So, like, I got to update my sheet. I didn't update it because I was pissed at the end. But the, what's it called? The 49ers defense, they did their damn job. You gave up 20 points on turnovers. You gave up 6 points on that stupid punt return touchdown. Defense not even out there. So, like, that's just insane. Defense only allowed 3 true points. Okay, yeah, there we go. Yeah, 3 true points all game. That's it. So 17 points off turnover, 6 points off special teams, and they kneeled it out at the end, so they didn't get those points. The defense gave up 3 true points today. 3. Robert Saleh is freaking doing everything that you can possibly do to put your team in a winning position time and time and time and time again. But, like, what the hell? What do you need everybody else to do? Just do your damn job. Like, catch the fucking ball. You had 6 drop passes today? Kendrick Bourne? Really? Dude, cut his ass. Cut his ass. Now, you can't do that because you have the most injured wide receiver room in the history of the NFL. Juwan Jennings plays, banged up, gets hurt again. Ricky Pearsall plays, gets banged up, gets hurt again. DeMarcus Robinson, you know, hasn't practiced in a month because he makes stupid choices off the field. But you knew that when you signed him. He goes out there and you don't trust DeMarcus Robinson a bit until he makes this badass catch in late in the third quarter. Then you put it back on the sidelines for Kendrick Bourne again. Cut his ass. You can't. Oh my gosh. 3 drops. 3 drops. Juwan Jennings dropped a touchdown pass. Christian McCaffrey, one of your best players. 2 fumbles, 2 drops. Really? Hey, Christian McCaffrey's awesome. Let's be honest. Like, look at the stat line. 17 carries for 49 yards, under 3 yards per carry. That's not necessarily on him. 6 catches, 92 yards. This Christian McCaffrey might be leading the NFL in receiving when it's all said and done on this pace. But Christian McCaffrey wasn't perfect either. Like, he had major, major issues in this game. And I know a lot of people are like, well, that interception wasn't on him. It kind of was. It was a terrible pass from Brock Purdy. Even worse decision from Brock Purdy. But, like, if you're the highest paid at your position, can't hand the ball to the other team. And I know people are going to be upset by me saying that. That's okay. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. Terrible decision, terrible throw. Got to catch the ball if it hits you in both hands. And I know you had to jump for it, but can't hand it to the other team. But that's okay. Let's don't get hung up on that. Brock Purdy, and we'll go back through and we'll get to your comments. We'll get through all this. Brock Purdy, not Brock Purdy. His foot's not right. Now, I don't think people understand how banged up Mac Jones is. So you're not comparing Mac Jones against Brock Purdy. You're comparing injured Brock Purdy, which we saw today. He's looking like Jimmy Garoppolo back there, throwing off his back foot, never stepping into anything, ball selling, hospital balls all over the place. That's number 10, guys. That's Jimmy Garoppolo. That is Jimmy Garoppolo. Nothing good ever happens when Brock Purdy throws off his back foot ever, 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 ever. And that's what you got. But, like, Mac Jones is more banged up than he is, right? So, like, if you're weighing the Brock Purdy versus Mac Jones debate, you've got to do healthy Mac versus healthy Brock, which we don't have. And you got to do injured Brock versus injured Mac, which we do have. So you can't say, well, man, look how good Mac Jones been playing. Why don't we just go back to that? He's more banged up than Brock is. And even with all that, Brock Purdy played absolutely horrible. He made some passes late. 22 of 38, not a good completion percentage, but you throw in those 6 drops. That doesn't help. If he would have been 28 of 38, now we're talking. You win that damn game. If Brock Purdy either doesn't sell the ball too high too many times or the wide receivers catch the fucking ball, the 49ers are still undefeated because the defense gave them those opportunities. If the special teams didn't suck balls, then you'd still be undefeated. But whenever all those things happen plus -4, how in the world did the 49ers have a chance to win this game? It should have been a blown out. You should have lost 42-7. That's what it should have been, but it wasn't. It was not that. It wasn't that. And so, like, I'm sitting here and I'm just, like, very frustrated because the Niners actually had a chance to win this game. Down five, driving in the fourth quarter to take the lead, was on the table. And Jake Brindle, we're going to talk about the O-line and say, Jake Brindle's the worst player in the 49ers uniform, maybe of all time. Anyway. Now, back to Brock Purdy. 22 of 38, not good. 309 yards, all right. That's solid. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. Those interceptions were bad. One of them was terrible, and I know the ball was tipped, but it was just a bad decision. He didn't read the backside linebacker. They tricked him. The play wasn't there. And I know it got tipped and made it look even worse than it was, but it wasn't going to be there regardless. Only one sack, but a 79.8 rating. Film's going to be bad to Brock Purdy. Film is going to be bad to Brock Purdy. And you look at just that second quarter, he just completely melted and turned into just an ultimate negative. Looked scared. You know, the aw shucks mentality of Brock Purdy wasn't there. You're not going to play Adrian Martinez. Yeah, Mac Jones, yeah, whatever. That's break glass in case of emergency. It just was bad. It was bad decision-making, late, holding on the ball way too damn long. That is a killer. That is a killer. You cannot do that. You can't do that. Roberto, my man, we got you for two super chats. I'm sorry, man. I want to go through this piece by piece. And shout out to you, Roberto. Thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate it. It says, we clearly have the worst offensive line and special teams in the NFL. Okay. Offensive line. You have an offensive line that is so bad, you cannot run the ball. You can't run the ball with this offensive line. The interior offensive line's not there. Trent Williams had one of his worst games. And I don't know how much of that, like, Trent Williams had a lot of good blocks this game, but the Jaguars adopted the Seattle Seahawks game plan from week one from watching film. And they're like, dude, let's just run a bunch of stunts and zone fires at Trent Williams and Connor Colby, the rookie. That's where we're going to attack. And it worked. Josh Hines Allen's kind of whooped Trent Williams' butt a few times. I'm going to be real. Do I think Trent's washed? Do I think Trent's done? I do not. I don't think that at all. But Trent didn't have a good game. That could both be true. You look at what Trent did the last 2 weeks was incredible. I'd put that on par of almost any Trent Williams performance, you know, throughout his 49ers tenure. This game in week one, not good. Well, the Jags and the Seattle Seahawks are top five defensive line groups in the NFL. The Saints are not. The Arizona Cardinals are not. So is Trent just going to be elite when he's playing against subpar D-line groups? I don't know. I don't know. We got a two-game sample size of great. We got a two-game sample size of, well, that's not good football. But here's my biggest issue with the entire 49ers team. It's not Purdy. It's not drop passes. It's not injuries. It's not. You have an offensive line that can't run block. You have a defensive line that can't pass rush. Okay, let me say that again. You have an offensive line that will not allow you to run the ball in a sustained way successfully. You cannot do it. You averaged 3.5 yards per carry on 24 rush attempts, which is, that's fine. You cannot run the ball sustained with those numbers. And it's a Shanahan father and son staple, Kubiak father, son, and son staple that you can run in this scheme. The 49ers offensive line is so bad, you cannot sustain the run. That's a Jake Brindle issue. That is a Dominique Pooney 2025 issue. Has not looked great. Connor Colby had some really good plays where you saw him get movement. He's the only one out there almost doing it sometimes, but it's not consistent. Jake Brindle's terrible. Jake Brindle gave up the strip sack to end the game. And all you EPA nerds tell me all the time, Jake Brindle's top four in pass protection. Man, shut the hell up. You go tell somebody else that bullshit. I'm going to trust what I see whenever I watch the tape. And whenever Eric Armstead bullies Jake Brindle in pass pro to strip the ball and end the game, shut the hell up. Shut up. You're wrong. 64 is not a good football player. I don't care what anybody says. You watch him run the ball up the middle. And I'm going to do this in film this week. You know, for the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon, we go through every offensive, defensive, special teams play. We got a short week because you're about to play the Rams. They just won. You're still in first place. But now you got three teams that are 3-1 in the NCOS. We'll talk about that later. But Jake Brendel continually is the weakest point of this team. What makes it so upsetting is you have not drafted a center this decade. The last center you drafted was Marcus Martin. You're the only team in the NFL that refuses to invest in this position. You're the only team. And you're the only team to not draft a tackle in four consecutive drafts. I'm sorry. Jake Brendel is trash. There is no other way to say it. Now, he's one of the lowest paid centers in the NFL. You're getting a value play. You're getting what you pay for. Yeah. Literally costing you the game, and now you have to change your entire scheme because Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy's bestie, Ginger64 out there, can't run block. When in the world has Shanahan ever been okay with an offensive lineman that is not run block worthy? And even if you look at the CMC screenplay where he scored the touchdown, he actually did a good job. He whiffed. He didn't touch anybody. But there was a third and one. You run the ball up the middle, and Jake Brendel touched nobody. We ran through the A-gap. He's the fucking center. And people are going to tell me, EPA, actually, if you look at his blocking success rate, man, shut the hell up with that bullshit. Once you see somebody say that online, will you guys tag me? Because I'm ready to have this out. Like, the film is on my side. And I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I want to be confrontational. And whenever I see takes that I dislike or that I disagree with, I just move past it. Like, I'm not the guy that's going to jump into somebody's mention and say, well, actually, like, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a bunch of clips this week without any saying a word. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm going to go through and I'm going to break down every single offensive play, defensive play, special teams play for you guys. I'm going to do that. So that's there for you. But I'm just going to cut a whole bunch of clips from just 2 weeks, just last week and this week, of Jake Brendel, number 64, standing there watching 21 other players play football. And I'm just going to post those. So whenever you guys are on social media and you see some dumbass, I'm sorry, post something positive about Jake Brendel, tag me, please. And not because I'm looking to start a fight. That's not what I'm trying to do. I don't want to be divisive. And I don't like saying negative things about players. I know on reaction shows like today, all right, we lost. Why did we lose, John? We lost because of Jake Brendel. We lost because of Brock Purdy. We lost because of all the damn drops. We lost because of Kendrick Bourne. We lost because of special teams. But the number one issue on this team is not Brock Purdy. It is not the drops. It's not even special teams. It's that fucking offensive line. That's what it is. Yeah, Purdy was horrible. I don't disagree with you. But the one consistent thing through this 2025 season is the offensive line sucks. And it starts in the middle and works its way out. That's what it is. Period. It is the offensive line is absolutely terrible. And it's not like the 49ers haven't had a bad offensive line before. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying I cannot remember a time when the 49ers can't run the ball. Why? Is it because of the scheme? Well, guess what? The Seattle Seahawks are running our scheme, and it's working just fine. Just fine. They have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. I don't think they have as bad an offensive line run blocking as we do. I don't see that as... I just cannot understand why this has been allowed to happen. I understand a seventh-round rookie left guard starting. You give him some time. Dominique Pooney is not himself. He's playing injured. He's tough as hell, but we saw how great he could be last year. Somebody help me understand why Jake Brendel is allowed just to go without him with impunity to constantly terrorize this offense and make sure it is non-successful for not one, not two, but 3 years. And somebody's going to say, well, actually, we made the Super Bowl with Jake Brendel out there as center. So he wasn't the issue. Well, that was when you had freaking prime Trent Williams. That's when you had prime Trent Williams. That's when you had a healthy Aaron Banks. Like, we're not there. That's when you had elite Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's not, he's still good. He's still great. But like that 2023 season might have been one of the greatest running back seasons in the history of the NFL. You're not getting that from this 23 right now. What he's doing in the passing game is huge. But you don't have George Kittle out there run blocking either. That's a problem. That factors in. He might be your best run blocker on the damn team. And so that hurts. But it starts in the middle. It starts in the damn middle. And I don't care that he can make the right calls. Jake Breeden makes the right calls. He knows the Shanahan scheme. Like, shut up. Shut up. Why are people not questioning Kyle Shanahan on this? Why? And I'm sure somebody's going to tell me I'm a non-ball knower and the 49ers know better than me and whatever else. And you're right. You are right. They know more than me. They are. However, I ain't wrong. I ain't wrong. I am not wrong. Man, they pissed me off. Now, I will say this. Here, positives, okay? This is a therapy session. And I know whenever I meet you guys on these road trips and the comments are like, hey, a lot of people will say the same thing. When the Niners lose, I go listen to your show to try to feel better. All right. We're going to ebb and flow this bad boy. Let's turn it around, okay? It's not all gloom and doom. It's bad, but it's not all gloom and doom. Next, I want to talk about the positives with this 49ers team outlook on the season, but the positives got to start with the offense first and foremost. And if you bet with us this week, oh, the 49ers sucked. We did not. I think we went pretty damn close to perfect. We'll talk about that after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. It's funny, you know, I posted the bet Saturday, and I said this is going to be a very low betting week. There's too much with the injuries to the wide receivers and just not knowing what's going on and the quarterbacks, like low week. We're not going to lose. Like, we're going to bet small, whatever. Man, we went 5 for 5. If the Bengals don't lose by 17.5 points, we get 17.5 points on their bet. Like, we hit 100% this week. So anyway, we'll see what happens with that. But again, don't put your money at jeopardy. And we post our bets every single week on the 49ersrush.com on our Patreon. We post every Friday, Saturday. But yeah, right now we're 5 for 5. And so hopefully you guys got paid and you made your money. You didn't lose. So thank you, Nate Biondi, for the super sticker. That means a lot. Thank you. You guys are the absolutely best. Shout out to my friend right here, Steven. What's up, Spac? He says, I love it when we get this, JC. Captain Optimistic is not happy. When you lose, you should never be comfortable with losing. Like, I don't care what it is. If you're playing checkers with your niece, like, I'm sorry, bro. King me. Like, gotcha. Like, I'm not saying talk trash to your niece or whatever else. I don't care. Like, there has to be something in you that is competitive. And a lot of this is the coach in me, and I'm raised in Texas, and I played football my whole life, and that was my career. So, like, yeah, I'm probably wired a little bit unnecessary, but that doesn't mean you don't put things into perspective. And probably my biggest like critique of sports media, or really our society in general, is that you're either the best or the worst. Oh, we're trash. We're the worst team ever. And I'm still getting fire Shanahan messages. And I'm just like, shut the hell up. You do not fire Shanahan. You're 3-1. So here's the nuanced take at positivity for the 49ers after losing to a bad team. The Jaguars aren't that great. Okay. They gave you every chance to win, all those penalties. The refs sucked. I understand that, but man, they had way more penalties than we did. Yes, the refs sucked, but here's the thing. The 49ers are 3-1, and they're the most injured team in the NFL. Like, you are going to get guys back. They just by definition, sub-board players are going to return. But you're in first place of your division. You're 3-1. In fact, not only are you in first place of the division, there is one undefeated team left in the NFC. That's the Super Bowl champs, Philadelphia Eagles. Back-to-back weeks, close losses to the Rams, and close, they beat the Rams, and a victory against the Bucs today, which was really close as well. But if the playoffs were today, you're the number two seed in the NFC. Like, the sky is not falling. There are critical issues, but right now, if the playoffs happen today, and I understand we're just a quarter of the way through the season, but you're 3-1. You're hosting a playoff game. That's what is happening if the playoffs happen today. So, like, you've skated through, and you've got some gritty, come-from-behind character-building victories, right? Your first three came from behind, and almost every one of them came down the fourth quarter, one possession games. And you got pretty damn close to doing the same thing. Jake Brindle stopped you from doing that. Brock Purdy stopped you from doing that. And if you're one of those people that's just like, well, we can't win with Brock Purdy. And blah, blah, blah. Brock Purdy's injured. Brock Purdy's not fully healthy. The negative is he going to be fully healthy by next Thursday? I doubt it. Rams are playing as good a football as anybody in the NFL. And yeah, they got gifted that game today with that stupid Adonai Mitchell, whatever, just dumb. Watching football today, I am just more and more reminded that football IQ is like going extinct. People don't understand the rules. People don't understand game situations. And those were evident in this game as well. I'm going to be very honest. Like, can't waste all those timeouts, Kyle Shanahan. Like, can't do that. Now, that one, I don't know what happened. You'd have to watch the coaches. And did somebody relay to Kyle Shanahan, Ray, we're going to take this penalty? Like, do you want to take it? Do you want to decline it? Maybe one of the players on the field said, yeah, we'll take it, push it back. Like, that cost you a timeout. I think that the challenge was appropriate. I don't think Travis Hunter caught that ball. But they're not going to overturn it unless there's conclusive evidence. He didn't catch the ball. I don't think that was a bad challenge, but they didn't overturn it. Now, the timeout early in the third quarter, that hurt you. Because when the Jags got that first down late in the fourth, they got to run the clock out. If you had one of those timeouts, they would not have been able to do so. If you would have had one more timeout, they would not have been able to do that. Now, the flip side is if Trevor Lawrence was an idiot and run out of bounds on his own, then they would have been able to run out the clock. That is also true. Football awareness, and how do you get that? Okay. One, I want to say, like, watch the breakdowns with me whenever we go through the situational awareness and clock management and, you know, just decision making and, you know, football situational awareness. But man, just watch football with the sound on. That's number one. But it's just weird. Like, how are you in the NFL and you don't know what the hell to do so many times? It drives me crazy. It really, really does. What's up, JP? Says, only allowed 150 yards passing, and thanks for the heads up with the bets. Thank you, JP. Glad you made some money, man. Yeah, we don't make money every week. But through 4 weeks, we have posted profits once, twice, three, four times. So we have not lost. We've had some bets that didn't go through, but we have posted positives every single week. So if you want to bet with us, man, come say what's up. That's Jerry Rice tier and above. Costs $20 a month, but you get to do the Zoom hangout. You get all the video breakdowns, and you get our bets of the week, and you get to help feed my family because that is how I pay my bills. So if you like what we do here, the49ersrush.com, we got a 7-day free trial. Sign up today. 7 days. You don't like it, cancel. Get your money back. Didn't cost you a penny, but if you do like it, stick with it. Please do. Nate, appreciate the super chat. This game was so frustrating to watch. Should have been a W. Special teams is still losing games. Jair Brown, terrible on special teams. Chase Lucas, terrible on special teams multiple times. Darrell Luter Jr., terrible on special teams. But let's be honest. My biggest red flag this game was Darrell Luter at corner. He wasn't good. He did no positives, but he didn't cost the game. You know what I mean? Gave up some free first downs on third down just because he's playing off coverage. But if I was a 49ers DC, I would say, listen, 28, you're getting your first start. You've been terrible. 3 years in a row. You haven't been healthy. You've been terrible all through preseason. Teams, third string quarterbacks were picking on you in preseason. Now you got to go play against Brian Thomas Jr. Didn't do awful. Didn't do awful. But special teams is bad. Bad, bad, bad. You got to kind of get something there in a positive. They missed a kick late. And I was like, oh, yay. Like, if we get a kick return past the 30, the 49ers, it's just like, holy cow, this is amazing. Like, how could you do this? Meanwhile, they're getting past the 45. We're kicking the ball out of bounds, but they're catching it out of bounds because football IQ just doesn't exist anymore. Special teams just sucks. I don't know what has been worse since Kyle Shanahan has got here. Here's where it gets weird. The strength and conditioning program, which you've been through three, or the special teams program, which now you've been through three coordinators there too. So it's not as simple as just fire them. You've done that. Kyle Shanahan doesn't coach special teams. Kyle Shanahan doesn't coach injuries. He doesn't coach, you know, rehab. But why is it? I mean, you have voted the best playing surface in the NFL at Levi's. I hate Levi's. It's one of my least favorite places to go. It's in the middle of literally the most sterile environment Santa Clara ever. The stadium construction is awful. The fans are amazing. The team is awesome. The field is awesome. The best playing surface in the NFL, yet still the most injured team since Levi's has been built, but it's voted the number one best playing surface in the NFL back-to-back years. Like, I can't, and I don't know if anybody can. How do you come to understand why these injuries and why the special team sucks so bad? Still, the common denominator is Kyle Shanahan. I understand that. But that is, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. It's weird. It's weird. Now, can we talk about the wide receivers, okay? You know, I put out this message. I was like, man, Juwan Jennings is playing. Ricky Pearsall is playing. You get DeMarcus Robinson back. And Kendrick Bourne has been with the team for a while. So you have four NFL worthy, I do the air quotation marks if you're not watching this, wide receivers for the first time. You haven't had four wide. You've only had two wide receivers, maybe, any game this year. You finally get four. And, man, Juwan Jennings just, he's practiced six times this year. That's it. I'm not exaggerating. Juwan Jennings has practiced six times throughout his holdout, throughout all the injuries. He's got three injuries now. Tough as hell. I love him. Can't drop that touchdown. You cannot drop that touchdown. That was actually a good ball from Brock. Yeah, it was low and away, but if you drop it, it's incomplete, not a turnover, you get the field goal. That was a good pass from Brock. Not a lot of good passes from Brock. Juwan Jennings got to catch that fucking touchdown pass. You got to, but he ain't been around. Now he catches a touchdown pass later. He takes the huge hit. That is incredible. Juwan Jennings is going to be banged up. I don't know if he's going to be able to play Thursday. Sure as hell hope so. But the idea that you had four functioning NFL-worthy wide receivers didn't work for Kendrick Bourne, had three drops. Man, I would cut him if I had the choice. I literally would cut that man. I love Kendrick Bourne. But when your quarterback is having a bad time and playing banged up, you have to help him. Don't make it worse. That third down on that slant route, it would have gone for 25-plus yards. Third quarter, down one touchdown, like, change the outcome of the game. KB, change it. I can't believe they put him back in, but everybody got hurt. Ricky Pearsall was the only constant, and he got hurt. Ricky Pearsall is unbelievable. Ricky Pearsall is unfreaking believable. Now, the knee, didn't practice much this week, goes out there, plays great. Knee gets banged up. Bad pass from Brock Purdy late. He still caught it, but he was out of bounds when Brock threw it, so still almost got an amazing touchdown. Like, you just throw the ball to number one. Good things happen. He's that damn good. He had four for four, four targets, four catches in the first half. Throwing the ball more. Gets one target in the second half, but Brock throws it out of bounds. Gets banged up the way he comes down on the knee that was injured. And, you know, he's doing the bike. He's doing high knees. No helmet on the sideline. Next time he goes out there, plays one play, goes right back to the sideline. Like, just not healthy. But tough as hell and not letting the team down. Like, the only players that, like, I felt did everything right through injury were Jake Tonjes and Ricky Pearsall. Am I crazy for that? Like, y'all help me out offensively. Like, Jake Tonchus banged up. That dude got hurt early. Just kept making plays. Just kept making plays. Blocking, passing, 3 catches on 5 targets for 58 yards and a touchdown. Like, Jake Tonchus, Ricky Pearsall. Who else out there? Kyle Juszczyk played pretty well, but not great. CMC, obviously, the yardage was great, but I would not call that a great game with the drops and the fumble. Luckily, we got that one back. Like, come on, man. Like, Juwan Jennings? No, not overall good game. And DeMarcus Robinson, you didn't trust him. You didn't trust him. DeMarcus Robinson got 2 targets, 1 catch, 20 yards. Luke Farrell, stupid fumble. He had 2 hands on the ball and it still got punched out. Oh, gosh, man. Like, you get one of those turnovers back, it's a different game. Get one of them. I don't think Farrell is a waste of money. He can't play up, though. So when Tonchus got hurt, like when George Kittle first got hurt, right, you kept Luke Farrell as your tight end, too. He's a blocker. That's it. And you put Tonchus in the Kittle spot. But then Tonchus got hurt, and he had to go to the locker room early. Well, dude, we got 2 tight ends out. We ain't practiced for that. All right, Luke Farrell, you got to play up a spot. Plays up a spot, makes a catch, nice yards after catch. He had 2 hands on the ball, still got punched out. Like, he's just not that. You know what I mean? I don't think Farrell's a waste of money. I don't think he's been a home run. I'm not, like, super happy with what Farrell's done. But, like, he was brought in to be the extra blocker and help in pass situations and run situations. Like, that's it. And I don't think that he's the only tight end run blocker that gets paid that much. Every team has that now. But yeah, we've had to play him up, and that's not it. We tried to do the same thing with Saubert last year. That's not it. A lot of not its, which bothers the hell out of me. Really bothers the hell out of me. Look at Phil, my man. He says, who are we getting back for Thursday? Man, short week. Short week, not good. You're going to go through it again with Ricky Pearsall. He's a question mark. Juwan Jennings, question mark. Brock Purdy, how much is his foot going to get better on a short week? And let's be honest, kid needs practice. Footwork, which is one of the things that has made Brock Purdy one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, footwork's bad. He's not stepping into throws, the toe issue, whatever else. So, like, you mess up. Like, when people talk quarterback mechanics, just so you know, this is, you know, you go back to Trey Lance, talk NFL draft, whatever else. If they start with the arm angle or the elbow angle or any of that stuff, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Like, just bookmark that first off. It starts at the ground up. The platform determines where the location of the ball is going to go. Brock Purdy has had some of the best footwork in the NFL since he came in 2022. That, like, one of the best. He doesn't have good footwork anymore. Why? Because he can't step into that throw. If he can't step in, now Mac Jones is hurt, so, like, you can't just say, well, let's just go back to Mac. Mac's more hurt than Brock. You're just in a bad situation. I don't know if you're going to get anybody back. My assumption is Juwan Jennings will play. My assumption is Ricky Pearsall will get out there and give it a go. But, man, DeMarcus Robinson should see an uptick is what I'm saying. Like, you need to phase Kendrick Bourne out unless it's an emergency. Your 3 wide receivers should be Ricky Pearsall 1, Juwan Jennings 2, DeMarcus Robinson 3. And I was a little hesitant on who's number 2 because Juwan Jennings and his drops through the 2 games he has played in, major moments. Drop touchdown pass, and you can go back to week 2 before he got injured. Like, that's huge. Thank you, Joe. Bill Walsh liked Montana's footwork more than anything. That's why he drafted him. I think that's a big deal. It's bottom up. It's just what it is. And yeah, we do not have an elite wide receiver. We do not have an elite tight end right now. We do not. But, man, I don't know. Ricky Pearsall is pretty damn close to elite when you trust him, but he's so banged up. Whenever he's healthy, I'm ready to say, you know, Pearsall is the real deal. Like, yeah, that guy, what Ricky Pearsall has done through the first month of this season, you know, banged up. You look at his stats. Good gosh. He was 3rd in the NFL going into this weekend receptions. Now, it took a hit because he only had 4 catches for 46 yards. Didn't play much in the second half at all. But, dude, Ricky Pearsall, dude, he's going to be around. Now, you got to hope that that knee is going to be all right. You got to hope that knee is going to be all right. That's a thing to watch, and you're not going to get any information. So, again, you know, we're talking bets next week, like on a short week, division, on the road. Oh, everybody's banged up. Outside of Christian McCaffrey, I don't know what the hell to bet. Like, we'll see how it goes, and I got to watch some, you know, Rams tape and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, we'll get through that. We'll get through that. But first place is on the line. It's a short week. First place is on the line. You're in first place. You're at a three-way tie, technically, with first place because, man, 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, all 3-1. All 3-1. Now, what's crazy is the Seahawks have the only other divisional win. One, they're 1-1. You're 2-0. You beat the Rams in their house, which is very capable of doing so if you get the fuck out of your way. Dude, you have a stranglehold on this division with a 3-0 division lead, and you've already beaten every team in your division. That means at worst, the tiebreaker is 1-1. It's huge, guys. This week is huge. I think the most important game the rest of the year. Now, if you're going on to any away games, you got to come with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, our next two trips, we're going to be in Tampa Bay partying on the beach. Saturday, October 11th, we're going to be partying in Clearwater Beach, which is just about 15 miles outside of Tampa downtown. Come say what's up. We'll be at Coco's North Beach Saturday, October 11th. Then our tailgate right across the street from the stadium. You'll see the giant pirate ship. We are right next to there. It's going to be an absolute blast. Premium drinks, you name it, food, all inclusive. That's what's up. And then our Houston party. We got Frank Gore, the legend, coming out with us. We'll be at the Social Beer Garden, HTX in Houston, Saturday the 25th from 2 to 6 p.m. Might be our biggest party of the year. Travis King, Eye of the Niner, is going to be there. And then our tailgate, which is crazy. We've never done this before as the 49ers Rush program at X Hospitality working together. We rented out a three-story parking garage. We're going to throw the party on the third floor, on the ceiling, right next to the stadium. It's going to be a blast. Parking for an additional fee is there. Plus, we open up 2 hours before the stadium lots, and we stay open later afterwards. Premium drinks, you name it, you name it. Go check it out on the TickPick app, 49ers Rush, or go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. That is what we got going on there. Really excited about those. And our New York details are out if you want to go check those out on the site. We'll be partying in Jersey. Going to be a very good time. Now, I want to talk about the 49ers defense, which if there is a positive to take away from this game, which was a loss and a big-time negative, is just how great and consistent the defense has been without getting pressure. That's the negative, right? The negative about the defense, no sacks, no quarterback hits, maybe one or two pressures, but those are suspect at best. Like, but let's be honest. How are you trying to beat Trevor Lawrence? You're going to make him beat you by throwing the ball. He was not good. He goes 21 of 31, 174 yards. Like, he didn't beat you. The defense kept you in this game the entire time. Now, you did give up 151 rush yards. That's the negative. But 50 of those were on one damn play right after a turnover. Right after that freaking Luke Farrell turnover. It was just, the first quarter was perfect. The 49ers defense has given up 0 points in the first quarter. 0 points. And guess what? The 49ers defense gave up 0 points in the fourth quarter. Like, the 49ers are dominating the first quarter and the fourth, which is what good football teams do. but you can't shit the bed so bad that you give up 17 points in the second quarter. You can't dig yourself a hole. Start well, finish strong. Like, you're doing that. You outscored this team 10-0 in the first and fourth, but you sucked so bad in the second quarter, the defense included. Like, that was the down part of the defense, was that second quarter. But man, Fred Warner, all-time leader for the 49ers in forced fumbles. Got to come down with one of those interceptions, Fred, but he just continues to look great. Diamador Nor looked good, not great. Mikel Williams was awesome. You'd like to see some of the pass rush come about, but it's just not. It's still so good against the run. Multiple holding calls called against him because he was doing so good. They couldn't stop him. Bryce Huff, awesome tackle for loss. Drew a couple holding calls himself. Jordan Elliott, probably his worst game of the year. He sucked on that first couple drives, and then, you know, it was third and one, and he got driven 5 yards off the ball on a third and one quarterback sneak. Overall, pretty good game, but still the consistency is not there. Marquise Sequel, every single team has had the same game plan. We're going at 36. He's not out of position. He doesn't have bad coverage. It's just teams don't fear him. And he's not giving up yards after the catch. It's just teams are targeting the rookie. He's tackling well. At some point, you got to make a play on the ball, Rook. Like, you're doing your job. You're improving. But every single team says, where is 36? We're going to throw it at him. One of my favorite rookies. He's awesome. Got to make plays. Got to make plays. D. Winters, great game, but that 50-yard touchdown was his fault. Him and Jason Pinnock. D. Winters took a horrible angle, ran himself out of the play. Travis Etienne's freaking fast as hell. Come on, man. And Jason Pinnock, worst player on the defense. Him and Jake Brindle could have the conversation for, you know, worst starter currently, but Malik Mustafa can't get back fast enough. Like, it just can't get back fast enough. Really can't. And so that's hard. That's hard. But yeah, Jordan Jefferson, nice third and short stop. You know, didn't play a lot, but still great. A lot of positives from the rookie defensive tackle out of Texas, Alfred Collins. Not great pass rush, but man, you did your job enough to give the offense a chance to win time and time and time again and keep yourself in the game. Like, the defense, definitely not the reason why you lost this game. It's not. The offense got to pick it up. The offense got to pick it up. The offense got to pick it up. Big Toad. Jason Pinnock, how about we don't celebrate the nonstop on fourth down and we come up and make a play instead? That'd be nice. Yes. A lot of assuming with the 49ers team. This is offense, defense, special teams. And again, I get really upset when players watch. It's assuming that good things are going to happen, that your guy's going to do his job and he doesn't need your help. Go. Play to the whistle. Like, play. What are you doing? And Jair Brown quitting in the special teams, like, repeatedly. Like, dude, I know you think special teams is beneath you, but, dude, you suck. You suck. You got to play special teams with effort. And he won't do it. Hasn't done it. It's so frustrating, man. And it just so much assuming out there. And it costs you repeatedly. Repeatedly. Oh, yeah. I get so mad with the assumptions of just like, oh, we're going to make the play. Why don't you go get involved? And even Mikael Williams on one play. You know, we stop the – I think it was the same play. Mikael Williams and Jason Pinnock stopped. We get the run stuff, and it's like third. It's going to be fourth and one. But then they keep fighting, and they get the first down. And meanwhile, Mikael Williams, one of your biggest defenders, is just standing there watching. Jason Pinnock is just standing there watching while their offensive linemen push the pile and get the first down. And the defense is not the reason why you lost the game. However, these little things, they add up. They add up. And again, I want to go back and I want to restate this. The number one kind of narrative and what I think it should be out there is that your offensive line cannot run block, and your defensive line cannot pass rush. That is quite the dilemma, because your entire identity through multiple DCs, the head coach, multiple OCs, whatever else, is run the ball and rush the passer. Like, that's kind of the MO in the NFL. You have an O-line that cannot run block, and you have a defensive line that can't pass rush. Now, you could get by the defensive idea of not being able to rush the passer if you stop the run all game. You're going to continue to give up a lot of third and longs, which continue to do so. But if you play sound defense in this Robert Saleh technique and you don't get interceptions, like the 49ers have now broken the record all time for most consecutive games without an interception. All time. 11. That's a problem. Now, Upton Stout probably should have been an interception. Was it a good call? No. Was it ticky-tack? Yes. Did he grab him after 5 yards? Also, yes. Are refs good? No, they're never good. The refs are terrible. The refs were terrible. So many missed calls by both teams. However, the Jaguars had 12 penalties for 90 yards. 49ers had 5 for 54. Like, were the refs good? No. There was a huge block in the back on Fred Warner on a huge first down. You know, that Upton Stout penalty changes the game. Would have been a pick six. So they got a first down. I don't think they eventually scored on that one, but still changed the game. Did he grab him after 5? Yes. Was it ticky-tack? Yes. You give him that chance, refs suck. What do you want me to say? Bobo, so do you make a deal to replace Bosa or improve the offensive line? The 49ers will not make a move to improve the offensive line. Delete that from your worldview. Chris Forster is loyal to a fault. It is a major issue. Again, you haven't drafted a center in over a decade. You haven't drafted an offensive tackle in 4 consecutive drafts. The only team in the NFL. You're not doing anything to address the offensive line ever, ever again. You live here forever as a 49ers fan. The way the 49ers are building this team is we're going to be cheap on O-line. We're going to spend everywhere else. Stupid. Stupid, but it's where you are. Yes, you do want to improve your defensive line. No team is selling. No team is selling. Let me say it again. 0 teams in the NFL are selling. The teams that you need to lose, the New York Jets, haven't played yet. The Miami Dolphins, they play each other. One of them is going to lose. One of the teams that you needed to lose did not. And the New York Giants. Now, they lost Malik Nabers and whatever else. But that coach is fighting for his life. Did you see Brian Daboll's embrace of Jackson Dart after that game? Literally walked up to him and said, "You saved my job." Like, he didn't say those exact words, but you can feel that. So, like, the Giants is who I want to lose. They're 1-3, and they have hope with a young quarterback. Like, teams that are 1-3 are not selling. The Raiders are not selling. Now, the Tennessee Titans are 0-4. Little bit different story. So, if you're looking at teams that are going to sell, no team selling at 0-4. At 0-5, that's when the conversation happens. And plus, the 49ers aren't trading anybody on a short week Thursday. That conversation will take place after the Thursday night game against the Rams. The 49ers are not sending out trade requests this week. They're not doing that, okay? Listen to me say this. The 49ers are not trading for anybody on a short week. They're not going to. It'd be awesome if they did. They're not going to. You have to find somebody that is willing to sell. And whenever you hear somebody say, "Oh, why don't we just trade for Brian Burns? Oh, why don't we trade for Max Crosby?" Okay, that's not realistic. This is not the NBA. This is not Madden. It's not. There are players that you could trade for, but not yet. You got to wait one more week. And you got to hope some of these 0-3 teams or 1-3 teams start to lose. You need the Tennessee Titans to lose again. Arden Key would be perfect. He'd be perfect. I think he signed through 2 years. That complicates it a little bit. But yes, I am adding more defensive line depth. I would add defensive tackle depth, to be honest with you. I think CJ West is going to come back. I like Alfred Collins. Jordan Jefferson looked pretty good. Like, not overly like upset at the defensive tackle spot. But if I could get a defensive tackle rush the passer specialist, I would be entertaining that idea. Those are very rare in the NFL, I understand. And it kind of seems the way Robert Saleh is addressing that issue is not with defensive tackles, but hey, we're going to make all our defensive ends play defensive tackles on pass rush downs. It's not working. It's not working. But yes, 100%, I do want to address and trade for somebody. You got to find a seller. You got to find a seller. No, there's no sellers in the NFL right now. Maybe the Titans, but you're on a short week. So you got one more game against the Rams, then you could start to have that conversation. Keith, 4 turnovers and only lose by 5. Yeah, that's crazy. Defense gave us opportunities. O-line is so bad in the drops. We are just so unlucky, man. I say this all the time. And we used to say this in our coaching rooms, sitting around, breaking down film and talking and just, you know, whatever. Just like, dude, luck is a part of it. The ball has to bounce your way. Like, sometimes, like, you got to do what you can to limit and downplay luck and all that stuff. But sometimes, man, Christian McCaffrey drops that ball. Bad pass, bad decision for Purdy. Yes, Christian McCaffrey should have caught it. Yes, that ball hit their defender in the chest. It was just easy. Fred Warner knocks the ball out. We got guys assuming, not running around to the ball. That ball's on the ground for a second, second and a half. Nobody close. Like, you want to change luck, you got to go all out effort all the time. You can't have guys like Jake Brindle on your team. You can't do that. Like, you got to coach that out of them. You're coaching it or you're letting it happen. Sometimes the ball's got to go your way. Sometimes the ball's got to go your way. First quarter, the ball did go our way. Second, third, fourth quarter, they did not. That's just part of chance in life, you know? And you can play that game all you want. Man, only if I had that one chance, only if something would have broke my way that one time. Man, force things to break your way. You got to take control. Don't allow outside situations to control your narrative and your life and your outcomes. Man, fuck that. No. You got to take control. And yeah, I know you're sitting there like, John, but you just said, like, luck has to happen your way. There's a coach mindset and there's a spectator mindset. I'm a spectator. I don't coach 49ers. I'm a fan, whatever else. And I watch it and I'm just like, gosh, man, sometimes things got to go your way. And a lot of times they don't. But when you do have something to control, seize that opportunity. Run your ass off to the ball. You never know when Fred's going to knock the ball out. But if you're taking a breather as a defensive lineman, you're not running down the field. I guarantee you, whenever we break down the tape and on that Fred Warner fumble, there's going to be 2 to 3 players that were doing a lot of assuming and could have had a chance if they hustled their ass off to the ball. And they didn't. They Jake Brindled it. And that's what it is. Yeah, right here. David, got to create your own luck as well at times. You got to. And the 49ers kept giving everybody the chance. You're down -4 in the turnover ratio and almost 1. Still 3-1. 49ers are in first place in the NFC West. If I would have asked you, go back to, it's a long time, jump in that DeLorean, go 88 miles an hour. We're in the second week of the preseason and everybody's injured. If I would have told you the 49ers will be in first place of the NFC West after the first month of the season, take it or leave it, all of us 100 times in a row would have said, yep, take it. Nobody would have said, well, what's Brock Purdy's completion percentage? Well, do we have defensive interceptions? Well, no. Are you in first place? Yeah. All right. That's a positive. You want the therapy session? You're in first place. You control your own destiny. You own every single tiebreaker for the NFC West currently. Now you got the Rams. And you get to go down there, which that's awesome. I'm actually excited that the Niners get to go play in SoFi. There's going to be red everywhere. And they're going to do their stupid who's house, and they're going to pipe in noise because the Rams have no character or integrity. That fan base is hilarious and brand new. But that's what happens whenever you shit all over multiple cities multiple times. It's hard to create long-lasting fans when you abandon city after city after city and then say, who's house? Like, dude, look around. It's red. There's no yellow and bleach blue that's up here. Come on, man. Like, anyway. The Rams have been the get-right game so many times in Shanahan's tenure. And shoot, right here. You get to go get it. This game sucked. We're going to break down all the film. We've got you guys. We're going to hook you up. We're going to help you understand. And again, when y'all see somebody praising Jake Brindle, tag me, please. Please, please, please. Not because I want to argue. Just don't be mean. Don't be rude. I'm just going to go post clips on them. So I'm just saying, tag me. please, 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 please. I'm going to get to work as soon as that film opens up in the morning. We'll have it up on the 49ersrush.com. Every single offensive, special teams, defensive play, coaches tape, all 22 broken down for you. We've got that going all week. We'll be here all week. It's rough to lose games, but it's part of it. It is part of it. The 49ers are in first place. They're 3-1. Still had the chance to win this game. You clean up turnovers, clean up special teams, get back to winning football. It's all there. I appreciate you guys, and I know it sucks, but we're called faithful. Look at the hat, man. Faithful. Faithful. Don't be one of those that are just like, oh, fire Kyle Shanahan. Man, 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 man. No, dude, those people suck. No offense if that's you. I love you, and I want to continue to be in relationship with you, but, dude, be better. Be better. You're in first place. Look at Sin. Appreciate you, Sin. John on fire. I'm glad somebody is on fire. I'm glad I didn't drop it. Otherwise, it'd be a 49ers wide receiver. Damn it. Yeah, I'm going to get mad again. Anyway, I love you guys. You are the best. Hang in there. That's why they call us the faithful. And I end every single show the exact same way. Have for years. This is show. What show is this? 1,521 of the 49ers Rush podcast. And I mean it now as much as I always do. Stay strong, faithful.